Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. We are delighted to have you with us today. We want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. And, of course, during our second segment, we are going to be having Senator John Eichelberger with us from Pennsylvania. He, of course, is a Pennsylvania state senator, and we are going to be talking about some developments in the Pennsylvania state budget and other things that relate to that. And, of course, we do have a lot of listeners here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, so I'm sure that you'll be interested, and anybody listening outside of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania might learn some things, maybe things on how to do it or how not to do it from what we are doing here in Pennsylvania, particularly as it relates to the state budget. But whoever you are and wherever you are, we are delighted to have you with us, and a lot of things going on. And, of course, even as we speak, Donald Trump is on his way to the border down in Laredo, Texas. And, Sam, you know, just interesting to note that in light of Donald Trump giving everybody in the United States of America Lindsey Graham's telephone number the other day, have you seen the new video that Lindsey Graham has put out where he is beating up on his telephone, throwing it off of a second or third story building and hitting it with a hammer and putting it in the blender? That's a pretty good way to respond to what Trump has done, don't you think?
I'm stumbling around here. You know what?
Dave, help him out.
Frankly, Gary, it's this kind of shallow response that Lindsey Graham, John McCain are giving for their accusations against Trump or others in the past. It substantiates, frankly, the claims that are made against them to see those kinds of things take place. So no, it doesn't help him, but it actually helps to elevate statements that Trump made. I think, frankly, it was a rather clever thing to give away his phone number. That's a bit of humor in that.
Well, Dave, any comments on that? I'm sure that you've got some great thoughts. Do you want to put those thoughts into comments?
Well, Gary, let me say this. In a MTV world, probably what Lindsey Graham did, was very entertaining to those that are uninformed on some of the issues. But from a substantive standpoint, what he did nothing to negate the problems that Donald Trump is pointing out, legitimately pointing out. And again, we're not endorsing Donald Trump here. All we're trying to say is this. Some of the issues that he is bringing up, of which John McCain and Lindsey Graham have been a critical component in doing things that really have not been good for America, this obviously did nothing to answer any of those. So, yeah, it was a little bit entertaining, but of substance, there was nothing to it.
Well, what seemingly is very serious. I know John McCain is not running for the presidency of the United States. He will be running for re-election down in Arizona in 2016. But in light of all of this discussion that's come up about, him being a war hero or not being a war hero or whatever the case may be, Sam, there have been some interesting things released about him that maybe he doesn't want to have out there, don't you think?
Well, Gary, no, that is correct. There's actually an article or two that are out there circulating around that actually go into quite detail about really the background of John McCain and the fact that the title that he was given, the Songbird, really there when he was in prison, really was that those others that were captives there have been on the record from saying some time that he really was in a favored position with Vietnamese, and he actually just spilled his guts and just told them any information that they wanted to know. That's why he was given that title. But the Swift Boat Water Group that actually has presented information to candidates in the past actually presented a bunch of information about him last go-around. And so I don't really think that that John McCain wants to have all of that information surfacing. But nonetheless, there is a great, great deal of question about his veracity, his past, his history, where he's really coming from. And the bottom line is, I think when, because I was out there in Iowa, but I think when Trump said what he said about McCain in that setting, which started this whole thing, that's why that's why the great majority of that group didn't feel like oxygen had left the room. They actually said, you know what? Yeah, I don't think too highly about John McCain either. So this is going to end up in ways that I don't think either McCain or Lindsey Graham or others really want it to go.
Well, again, just as we were talking before we went on the air, you know, it just seems like Trump himself is not bringing out some of these things relative to these other candidates until they themselves attack him. So they would probably do well just to back down in some of the things that they are bringing up before the public relative to Donald Trump. But Dave, even as we speak, Donald Trump is down there at the border or on his way to the border. We have found out that the union representing the Border Patrol agents sort of backed out of that tour. We don't know exactly why they did that, but at the same time, they made a statement that, and I quote, they said, make no mistake, our border with Mexico is not secure, and there's no doubt that we need to have an honest discussion about that with the American people, end quote. And my question to you, Dave, is do you think that with Donald Trump being down there at the border, that this will actually lead to a solid, honest discussion, not only with the American people, but with the other candidates who are running for the presidency?
Well, Gary, I would hope that it would result in something like that. One of the things I want to just mention, Gary, is this, and you know, this is a factor that people maybe have not considered, but I've been down along that border around Laredo. I've crossed there numbers of times going in to work with missionaries and so on, and that is an incredibly dangerous place to be. And this gentleman who just recently escaped from the Mexican prison, that's one of the most wanted men in the world, you know, he actually has issued a death threat against Donald Trump. So there is a degree of courage, I would say, that's maybe being exemplified by Donald Trump to hazard his life to go down there. So I would hope because it is a serious situation on the border, I hope his presence there results in not more shenanigans of a lightweight nature, but actually results in something substantive. And my personal opinion is I believe it probably will be result in a substantive discussion.
Sam, how do you suspect other candidates will respond to this? I mean, have other candidates been down there during this this campaign?
Well, Gary, I think some have. But none of them have really stuck quite to the extent that I think this is sticking, simply because most were running from the issue or playing on the fringes, and Trump has gone right to the middle. And so his presence there is going to bring this whole thing back to light. I think most of the candidates are looking and saying, oh, why can't I get the attention that he's getting? They really are scratching their heads. They don't know what to do, even the good ones.
I guess they just need to be open and honest. That would help, wouldn't it?
It'd help. It would help.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Senator John Eichelberger from the state of Pennsylvania, a state senator, will be with us to talk about some of the current events going on here relative to our budget and a few other things in Pennsylvania. So stay tuned. We will be back with more right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He was the only person to sign all four of America's founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, Articles of Confederation, Articles of Association, and the U.S. Constitution. A shoe cobbler by trade, he was also a surveyor and merchant prior to his political career. As a congressman, he helped write the First Amendment, and at age 70 was elected U.S. Senator. Who was he? Roger Sherman, who died this day, July 23, 1793. When the British had surrendered over 5,000 troops to the Americans at Saratoga, Roger Sherman exclaimed, "This is the Lord's doing and marvelous in our eyes."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, along with yours truly, Gary Dahl, are delighted to have you with us. And as is the case every other Thursday or so, we have with us Senator John Eichelberger, a senator in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Those of you who are listeners here in Pennsylvania probably know of him. He has been referred to as the Great Reformer. And, of course, those of you who are not citizens of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you need to have a guy like John Eichelberger in your state. So, John Eichelberger, Senator John Eichelberger, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Thanks for the kind words as well.
Well, you know, your bill will be in the mail after the program. but we're delighted to have you with us, and thank you for what you do for us here in the state. And so we're going to defer to Sam Rohr, another fellow who spent a long time in the state legislature, open the discussion with you today, John.
All right. Hey,
hi,
Senator.
Sam.
Senator, good to have you with us, and we appreciate it. And I'll just say for those of you who are listening, as listener-wise, who don't live in Pennsylvania, somewhat I think we're going to go over here may help to provide some insight in the kinds of things that take place in every state or in Congress when budget times come. Now, John, here in this state, obviously the governor vetoed the entire budget passed by the House and the Senate. Rather, he didn't go in blue line portions of it, and he vetoed the entire thing, which makes it even more interesting. I'd just like to have a sense from you right now, from inside viewpoint, are the negotiations between the legislative branch, the House and the Senate, and the governor, are they at this juncture moving forward with any deal of seriousness, or do you think the governor at this point is prepared to kind of wait this thing out for a while? Because obviously it's a negotiation process. Who's really ahead in this negotiation process right now?
Well, I think the governor is waiting it out. In fact, what he's doing, which is a historic first in Pennsylvania, is he's spending a lot of money, at least a $500,000, with attack ads going after Republican legislators around the Commonwealth. So we're in this situation where he did veto the budget in its entirety, which is also something that hasn't happened for over 40 years in Pennsylvania, where a governor has completely vetoed the budget. He could have gone in. Over two-thirds of the lines in the appropriations bill were agreed to. He could have agreed to those, maybe worked out some deals on some others, and left a few lines remaining that he had some differences with, and we could have worked out something on those lines over the summer. But he killed the whole deal. So then he started this ad campaign to go after people with direct mail, radio, and television. And it seems that the deal today is much further apart than it was on June 30th when he vetoed it because of the animosity that he's created with the legislature.
Well, John, I've got a quick question for you. What's the governor paying these attack ads with, taxpayer dollars or campaign dollars?
It's money that the public sector unions have provided to the Democrat National Governors Association.
They're campaign dollars.
Yeah, it's PAC money.
So, I mean, that ought to be an alert to everybody who's listening. I mean, when governors, presidents, or whoever they may be, who seek to use special interest money to try and prove an ideological position rather than standing up and defending, articulated position and defending it, you know something is amiss right off. Now, in this regard, I'm going to also ask you a question. You can ask. You know, answer as you will. Some may say that the governor vetoed the bill in its entirety because he really wasn't too smart, hasn't been in office before, and it's a demonstration of naivete. That's one hand. Or the other hand is that he really, really, really wants to try and strong arm the legislature, and it's my way or the highway type thing. Was it a piece of deliberate strategy, or do you think it was more of naivete that he vetoed the entire thing rather than just portions of it?
I think it's strategy. I think that, again, from a national perspective, most governors would probably operate like this. Their first year is when they advance most of their agenda, and this is their opportunity to get everything they can get. From here on out, it'll be much more difficult for them. Once they establish a budget for the first time, it'll be harder for them to make major changes to the operations of the state where they reside and govern. So he's holding out to get everything he can, and his agenda is very radical in Pennsylvania. In fact, his tax increases are $4.5 billion in a roughly $30 billion budget. if you take tax increases proposed by all the other states, all the other 49 states combined, they reach $2.1 billion. That's $2.1 billion for all 49 states combined. Now, some states have actually decreased. Their governors came out and they were decreasing taxes. But in the states where they were increasing, the increases amounted to $2.1 billion total. Our governor is proposing $4.5 billion in new taxes. And as you probably know, Sam, that budget was put up for a vote in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, and it got zero votes. Even the Democrat members, every Democrat member said, I cannot support that kind of tax increase.
See, John, that's an incredible thing, because you're talking about 11% increase. I mean, in these days, I mean, unbelievable. Identify quickly for us, what are or what is this governor hanging his tenureship on? What are his top priorities in order, and how much is he assigning to each one? I know public education funding is one big one, but identify that, and whatever else do you think he's truly trying to stake his claim on here?
Well, I would say two or three things that he campaigned on. One was education funding. That clearly is his number one priority, and he's exaggerating what we're doing there to death. I mean, it's absurd, the exaggerations that are coming from him and the PSEA, which is the State Teachers Union. They're claiming that we're not giving any more money for education. The legislature passed a budget that was vetoed. We had about $4 billion worth of increased money for schools with a combination of basic education funding, special ed funding, more money for the retirement program, more money for their construction of schools, all the different line items that go into public ed through on K through 12. And then we certainly had money for higher ed and some other pre-K and some other things. But about $4 billion worth of additional funding for schools. And they're laughing at that like it was nothing. I mean, it's amazing that spin. And then they want to tax further the natural gas industry in Pennsylvania, which is one of the now the most prominent natural gas states in the country with the Marcellus Shale development here. There was an impact fee put on several years ago. They've paid about $800 million in impact fees. He's proposing a severance tax on top of that, which the impact fee is like a severance tax, but it wasn't called that. Now he's calling a severance tax to be added, and it would be the highest severance tax. Just the severance tax portion of it would be the highest in the country. And our drillers are leaving Pennsylvania as fast as they can.
And John, you're hitting just a few of the highlights, which is what I asked you to do. But we're going to be coming up here, going out of the break. Budgetary times are always convenient times to try to force or sneak things, other things, into the budget by one side or the other. Could be by the legislative branch or could be by the governor. Anything being sneaked in, I've heard some things, elements of Senate Bill 300, which is a bill that would add some changes to their Human Relations Act. Are the things like that being attempted to be sneaked into the budget by one side or the other?
Well, we keep hearing rumors that is something that they will do. I have not seen that directly yet, but I have heard that from people that have been in discussions with the top two or three advisors to the governor, and they have said that boldly, that this will be in the final deal, and it's non-negotiable. I've heard those terms used by governor's staff. Through other people. I haven't heard it directly, but I've heard it through other people that have been there that say that's what they said. It was non-negotiable. And that's a very scary premise for us, and we know what's happening around the United States with those changes in the laws and what we expect will happen in the future to our religious institutions.
Well, thank you, John. I'm going to turn you back over to Gary here as we approach the break for anything else you may want to say.
John, we do truly appreciate the work that you do, and I'm just wondering, most of us here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania know that you are not in the best, the best light with the teachers' unions here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because you're simply trying to get the teachers to do their jobs and not to do politicking during their time that they're to be working at the school. How's
right.
that coming along, sir? By the way, I'm praying for you. I feel badly for you. But I'm praying for you. I almost called you the other day and said, are you okay? But how's
well,
that coming along in about 15, 20 seconds?
I think it's coming along okay. I mean, I'm hearing from a lot of teachers and a lot of former teachers that tell me that they're embarrassed about what some of the people in and their line of work have done publicly. Certainly some of the core union people for the teachers don't represent all the other folks that are out there that work in the schools. So I understand that, and I appreciate a lot of what teachers do. But certainly the core union members are a very nasty group of people and are doing things around the Commonwealth, not just to me but to other members as well, and it's a pretty scary situation.
Well, Senator John Eichelberger, thank you very much for all that you do. Keep up the good work. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more right after this break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Hearing from three cabinet secretaries today, some senators are unconvinced the nuclear deal with Iran is any good. Idaho Republican Jim Risch.
All I can say is after reviewing this, even in a cursory fashion, anyone who believes this is a good deal really joins the ranks of the most naive people on the face of the earth.
Secretary of State John Kerry says if Congress kills this deal,
the rest of the world thinks it's a good agreement. Now, if you think the Ayatollah is going to come back and negotiate again with an American, that's fantasy. You're never going to see that because we will have proven we're not trustworthy. We got 535 secretaries of state, and you can't deal with anybody.
Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz and Treasury Secretary Jack Lew are there, too, with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today. This is a Fox News alert.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a delight to have you there by the radio or by the computer. Certainly, as we always say, we do appreciate the company that you give us every day at this time on this, your radio station, as we talk about the issues that relate to us today and try to bring the Word of God and the United States Constitution to bear upon those issues. Well, ladies and gentlemen, even as we speak, we understand that our Secretary of State, John Kerry, is down in Washington, D.C., facing Congress over the Iranian agreement, an agreement that shouldn't be an agreement at all. If there is anything, it should be called a treaty. But this this presidential administration of ours seemingly does everything that it can to bypass proper protocol and even bypass the Constitution. We've talked about that in the past. But this is a very serious deal. In fact, the committee chairman, Bob Corker, said, and I quote, that he's depressed over the deal. In fact, he actually went on to tell John Kerry, again, I quote, "You have been fleeced by the Iranians." And, of course, this is causing all sorts of disruption in Washington, D.C. From what I understand, Boehner and McConnell are requesting from the White House that all aspects of the agreement be revealed to the Congress. I think they're having a hard time getting that. I was interested in noticing, too, that Susan Rice basically said that she's satisfied with the agreement, even though most of the documents are not public. And, you know, the first thought that came into my mind, Sam and Dave, when I heard that, is that, you know, I guess she's going to have to going to have to read the agreement before she understands what's in it. Or I don't know. It's just a big mess. But, Sam, it's interesting to note that in the course of this discussion this morning, our Secretary of State said, in reference to this agreement, and I quote, "The rest of the world think it is a good deal," end quote. Well, you know, that reminds me of when I was a little boy growing up back in western Pennsylvania. There was a place where a lot of the kids would go to swim, and it was a dangerous place, deep holes of water and rapids. And I remember all the guys used to go there, and I would ask my parents if I could go, and they would say no. And I would say, well, all of the other guys are doing it. And my dad or my mother would say, yes, but you're not the child of all the other guys are not our children. You are our child, and you listen to what we tell you to do. Well, even though John Kerry comes out and says the rest of the world thinks it's a good deal, Sam, the rest of the world are not Americans. That should raise a question mark in somebody's mind, don't you think?
Well, Gary, it absolutely should. And I think there's a lot of things wrong with it. I'd like to take, and if I could, kind of boil down a couple of points of what I think's actually happening here. Remember, you mentioned at the beginning, the president, through this arrangement, has attempted to circumvent the actual role of Congress by not going the treaty route, but going an executive agreement route. That's number one. Number two, he has already told Congress, don't you dare try to tamper with this and subvert this plan. He's already threatened them up front, and he threatened them after the deal was announced. Number three, he's already said, if you come back and you vote to not go along with this, I will veto it. So he's already put all of this up front, meaning if he vetoes it, it's going to have to get a two-thirds vote of Congress from House and Senate. Very, very difficult to get, and it would drag it out a long time. They have a 60-day window in order to approve it. I don't know what that actually does technically, if it falls into that kind of a category, but if he doesn't agree to it, it doesn't stand. So he's got to move over a barrel, number one. Number two, now in this testimony today, I think some things that have really come out in an amazing way. Number one, there's this. They are saying, and in my opinion, the administration is attempting to blackmail Congress. It's not just a threat, don't alter, Don't tamper with me. But there's a threat that he's putting down on him. That blackmail is coming in the form of a couple different things. Number one, if you do not approve this arrangement and it goes forward, they have said, two individuals testified today, said, if this does not happen, then Iran will produce a bomb. And that bomb may be launched against us. I mean, they're really ratcheting it up. Effectively, they are saying, this is the only pathway to peace. This is the peaceful way. If you don't go along with it, you will be voting for an attack on the United States. You will be voting for a war. Therefore, what a kind of a burden to put on the backs of those who say no. In addition to that, they're saying, if you vote no and don't agree with it, you will be permanently undercutting the ability of the United States to involve itself in any kind of relationship, because it will demonstrate to the world we can't do anything together. And therefore, the role of the United States will be diminished permanently and forever if you do that. Again, raising the stakes extraordinarily high. And then the third thing you mentioned was, let's face it, we're only one of five plus one that have been a part of this deal. And we're not the only ones. Everybody else is going ahead with it. So as you say, they're all doing it, so let's go along with it. These are high-stakes political games that are being played, Gary. And I believe, unfortunately, at the end of the day, I believe this president holds a, I want to use the word wrong, Trump card. Not the Trump card we've talked about with Trump.
Oh, boy.
Because we know where he is. But he holds the veto. He holds the public position. And I believe you're going to see come forward here increasingly at absolute knockdown and drag out, but I think he prevails in the end because he tries to do this kind of thing. This is high stakes, and it's wrong.
Well, it is. And Dave Kistler, I'm certain that there are thoughts burning through your soul today as we're talking about this subject. I can't wait to hear them.
Well, Gary, the bottom line is this. What Sam said is 100% correct. And this idea that if Congress does not support this deal, then it's going to create the likelihood of a nuclear attack against the United States. In all actuality, this deal itself is going to create the likelihood of an attack against the United States. So that argument, though it is being used, as Sam said, by the administration against Congress, is totally invalid. It is the weak nature of this deal that's going to create a stronger likelihood that we will be attacked with a nuclear device. The one that is most significant in my mind is what Sam said last, and that is this. If Congress does not go along with this deal, it's going to lessen the ability of the United States to play a role anywhere in the world in future negotiations like this because of the appearance that we cannot work together here in the United States. That is a significant component. But the reason that's even on the table is because the way this administration has bypassed Congress. What I am praying and what I'm hoping will happen is Congress will resist it. They'll fight against all of these things that the president is blackmailing them with, and they will do the right thing for the United States of America. Just cause all the other kids on the block may be going down to the water hole, Gary, as you gave the illustration, it doesn't mean we have to go. Hopefully the American people will be the parents. The reasonable parents in this situation will press our elected officials, i.e. our children, and say, don't go along. Do what is right for us, the American people.
Gary,
well, yeah, and I would encourage everybody to call your representatives and your senators and express just what Dave said. Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, there's another aspect of this we need to be aware of as well. Right after this announcement was made with the Iran deal, and Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel weighed in and said, this is a bad deal and we can't go along with it, this president put in a call to Netanyahu and afterwards, and he said, basically, back off. And then he offered him billions of dollars, Israel, billions of dollars of military aid to augment and to soften the deal if he would back off and quit criticizing the Iranian deal. Netanyahu and Israel said, we don't want anything to do with that. But he's also trying to do two things. There is an effort going forward, and we'll spend more time on our program probably next week on this. But there's an effort underway by those that signed this agreement and this president to try to force Israel to give up their nuclear weapons and to agree to a two-state Palestinian state arrangement in Israel. This is a part of what's going on behind the scenes. This was communicated by this president to Netanyahu right a day after this agreement was announced. There are major things occurring behind the scenes. Israel remains a focus of it. It threatens our security and safety, and it absolutely threatens the security of Israel, which is what we said when we analyzed this the day it came out. This is actually happening, Gary, so there's a factor in here swirling around of this type that has not really been on the public news directly yet, but it will come forth, and we're announcing it right here. This is also a part of what's happening. Be aware of it.
Gary could also say this. There is potentially a prophetic component to this. With this pressure that's being applied against the nation of Israel to give up their nuclear weapons and this two-state solution component, can you imagine if into the mix – was thrown the possibility of Israel being allowed to have a portion of the Temple Mount in return for coalescing on some of this. And I think you men know where I'm going here. There, that could add an incredible prophetic component to what's taking place.
Well, it could. And, you know, I want to throw out another component here, man, and that is I really believe this, and I may be criticized for saying it, but I think that what's going on in this administration is downright satanic. It's devilish. Because, you know, there are so many things that they do that are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-country. That's devilish. We need to pray for America. We'll be back with more right after this, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This week is City on the Hill week for us here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. If you haven't heard, City on the Hill is our life-changing Christian leadership and worldview camp for high school teens. And this year, we've got a top-notch group of kids attending from all across the state and some of the best worldview teachers on issues like life, marriage, and religious liberty that you'll find anywhere. We've been conducting this wonderful camp for more than 15 years now, and the fruit in the lives of the young people that attend is nothing short of amazing. If you'd like to help invest in the Christian leaders for the next generation, consider a tax-deductible contribution to Pennsylvania Family Institute and City on the Hill.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your tax-deductible contributions to fund our pro-family work. Please consider a generous contribution today. You can donate online at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Even in evil cultures led by arrogant and haughty rulers, take heart, because God gets the last laugh. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though nations seek to establish governments without God, truth, and moral restraint, though evil rulers conspire against God and persecute his people because they remind them of their sin, we should not fret. The King of Kings sits in the heavens and laughs at their futile actions. He scoffs at their puny efforts to challenge his authority. And one day, he'll terrify them in his wrath. He'll rebuke them in righteous anger and in deep displeasure will say to them, I've given you my son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Kiss him now and serve him with fear and humble submission, or you will perish. For I've authorized him to break you in pieces with a rod of iron. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with God, the choice in life is clear. Reject Jesus Christ and perish, or trust him and be blessed.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And Sam and Dave, before we left the air for the break there, I was mentioning that I believe that a lot of what's taking place in our administration right now is satanic, and I think that there could be many illustrations to prove my point or to substantiate it anyway. But take the situation now as it relates to this particular agreement with Iran. You have a guy like John Kerry who's been around a long time. He has been a senator for many, many years. And though he's never been a fan of – I've never been a fan of his. And I've never – I never really thought that much of him. But – I would think that he would understand from being a senator for many, many years that a lot of what is going on in the administration today, particularly in his area, in foreign policy, is absolutely against the way the administration should be functioning. And what it appears is though the John Kerrys and others who are working for Barack Obama, when they come under his leadership in his administration, even though when Obama comes up with these things that are antinomian and against the Constitution of the United States, it seems as though they don't fight it. They just bow down. They just bend over. They just say, yes, Heil Hitler. I mean, Heil Obama, and go with it. And that's what makes me think that there is really a satanic influence in the White House today, Sam.
Gary, we have said, ultimately, Scripture talks about we battle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. We've made that clear, and people who listen to this know that. Well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like the kind of thing that you describe. When you see events, and I've been a part. I mean, I've been a part of a legislature run by governors and so forth, where there were things that just began to develop within that system of making law, which is again where the spiritual wickedness takes place. That I tell you, you could not explain it any other way than the evil side of the spiritual battle was in full force. And you go down to Washington right now, I guarantee you, and you talk to members of Congress or in the Senate who know the Lord as their, nor Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they know why they're there, and you talk to them privately and or perhaps publicly, what they are sensing and feeling, and they will describe it just like what you said. Because in reality, that's the way it is. There's an awful lot moving along here, Gary, because at the same time, you couple that with the fact that God raises up nations and puts them down. There is an alignment of nations happening. Israel is the focus. We are a part of something much bigger than any one of us can sit here and talk. We can look at it. We can try and describe it to the best of our ability. We're doing now and put it in the context biblically. But it's something that not you or I or Dave or any other single person could actually go press a button, make a decision, and alter what's happening. It's a much bigger thing that's moving forward, and it's ultimately moving forward to the Lord's return, I believe.
Dave, do you remember right after Barack Obama was elected president that you and I were down in Washington, D.C., on a couple of events, and we even put on a rally there at Lafayette Park right across from the White House. And do you remember me saying something to you like this, that before when I would come to Washington, even though I didn't always agree with administration policies, when I looked at the White House, I sort of got a glimmer of hope. But now when I go to Washington, it just seems to be dark and blackened, and that has nothing to do with the color of the man in it. It's just a matter of spiritual darkness. You know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Do you remember that discussion we had that day?
Gary, I remember it vividly. If you will recall, we were standing outside the White House having a prayer meeting at about 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden the lights went out on the White House, and you made that comment at that time that that is kind of symbolic of the darkness that is enveloping the White House from a spiritual standpoint. Yes, Gary, I remember it vividly. And, you know, we've had discussions. We've kind of sometimes had them jokingly. Is there more to this man we call president than what appears to be the case? Is there an Antichrist component to who he is? And I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but what he's doing is demonically brilliant. There are times when he will do foolish things that at least they appear foolish. They appear sophomoric. They appear very amateurish. And then there are other times, as is the case right now, when his administration operates in a way that is demonically brilliant. And that's what we're having, that's what we're watching in front of us right now relative to this Iranian deal. They have controlled everything relative to this, and it has absolutely been brilliant in a demonic way. So that's what Sam's talking about. There are forces at work here that are outside the realm, I believe, of human ingenuity. Now, that doesn't mean we just surrender and say, well, you know, what will be. No, we don't know, you know, if this is the time of the end exactly. I believe we're rushing toward the end, but we don't know how long we've got till Christ comes back. So we do right because it's right to do. And we resist evil at every turn because it's right to resist evil. But the fact of the matter is this, there is something demonically brilliant going on here with this president.
And, you know, you talk about him making these sophomoric expressions. You know, it hasn't been, what was it, 2 years ago, he referred to as ISIS as being junior varsity. And, of course, you know, I would have thought that with our intelligence, he should have known more than that. I think that he was just trying to distract it. That's my opinion. He was just trying to distract the American people from how serious ISIS was. And, of course, we know that there are those who are in national security right now, Sam, who say that what ISIS is doing and their influence here in the United States of America keeps them awake at night. That's not something that a JV team would do.
Well, no, of course not. And that's why what we're talking about has such a significant importance. Knowing things from a biblical perspective, critical. That's what we're trying to do in this discussion, in this segment of the program, is put some of this into that perspective. Without it, it doesn't make sense. With it, though, it does begin to fit a plan. In any event, knowing truth, holding to truth, holding to the rule of law by those who are in Congress, those in positions to do things particular, does make, in fact, an impact. So staying with the truth, knowing the truth, staying with the truth, and being obedient to what God says we ought to do as an individual, as a family, as a nation, that is the safest ground for us to be on. And ultimately, if there's a way out down the road, it's going to come as a result of that. It's not going to come by political, you know, strategy or anything else. It's going to come by obedience, recognition that God is in control and doing what he says. That's what will make the difference.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when we talk about the national security issues, from the conditions within our southern border to Sharia, to ISIS, and, you know, even out in Seattle, Washington, they're talking about bringing aspects of Sharia law in so that Muslims can purchase homes without paying interest. When we see all of this taking place, even as it relates to this Iranian agreement, we need to pray for America. Our motto is God bless America. God cannot bless America if America is not obedient to God. So we just need to pray for America, that there will be a turning back to God and biblical principles. Only then will God bless America. Pray for America every day. On behalf of Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come. We will return tomorrow for the Friday edition. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.